Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues, here on AFR. Thank you for listening. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family Radio News.
Good morning. Greetings.
Fred, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really well, and I want to say hello to all our Canadian listeners this morning who are celebrating Thanksgiving.
Is that right?
Yes. Today's Thanksgiving Day.
How do you celebrate Thanksgiving Day in Canada?
Much the same way they do here in the United really? States. They eat too much and probably watch a football game.
Okay. On his Canadian football.
Or hockey, maybe. Do they have a big hockey?
Yeah, usually game? There's some matinee hockey games, and Ed is up on the matinee hockey games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bruins, my team, because it's Columbus Day, they're playing a matinee game starting at noon. Mm-hmm. By the way, in a completely unrelated issue, I won't be available for the first 2.5 hours this afternoon.
You're reading your Bible?
Yeah, well, kind of.
Studying your Bible?
My door will be closed. But
your door will be closed.
Yeah, around 2:30, though, yeah. I will be available. I am here for you, Tim.
Oh, me. Walker, what are we going to be doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page today?
Well, right as it sits or as it stands right now, we are live streaming.
Kneeling. Our Facebook page is taking a knee.
Is it?
Yeah.
Our Facebook page as it kneels right now is live streaming, so you can watch the show there and watch us kneel during the show every time an injustice is committed. Secondly, all of our news stories are going to be posted on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Today's Issues Facebook page. We're live video streaming there. And I must say, Walker, you do a great job of posting the stories every day that we talk about so people can have them themselves, the source of the stories that we talk about here on this program. Okay, folks, thanks for being with us. Let's get started. Speaking of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
What happened yesterday, Fred?
Some interesting developments yesterday during football in Indianapolis. Vice President Mike Pence showed up there, and this had been planned for some time. Just put that out there right away because there's a little bit of controversy on the timing. But the Indianapolis, the Colts were playing the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers. And during the playing, the national anthem, a number of the 49ers players took a knee. And Vice President Pence was there with his wife, and they left shortly mm-hmm. after that.
Yeah, let me a little bit more to that. The reason the Vice President was there, he's from Indiana.
Yes.
Was the governor.
Former
was
governor.
Governor and congressman from right. Indiana. And so he was there because it was Peyton Manning Day.
Yes.
Peyton Manning was the longtime quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And so they were there to have Peyton Manning Day to honor him. Otherwise, I don't think the vice president would have been at the game, is my point. Mm-hmm. So he was at the game with his wife. Now, the Colt players did not kneel.
That's
what I'm aware of. None of the Indianapolis Colts players knelt. So it was he left, did Vice President Pence, because – you had some players from the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers teams, that knelt. And then Vice President Pence and President Trump both tweeted about that, again. What do you think about that, Ed?
Well, some Democrats are being cynical. I know this is shocking for 2017. People are turning cynical. They called it a stunt. And they were their argument is that this was all planned out in advance. But I think it's clear that Vice President Pence was there because he wanted to honor Peyton Manning, and from Indiana. And my understanding is that President Trump told him, if there's any disrespect towards the flag during the national anthem, I want you to leave. Mm-hmm. And so he did that.
Yeah. Two things that I would agree with the Democrats, had it not been for the fact that, number one, the vice president is the former governor of Indiana.
Right.
Okay. So he's attending a Colts game.
Yeah, he didn't show up at a Miami Dolphins
right,
game.
Right, so that's one thing. Second thing is, it was a special day honoring Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't think the vice president would have been at the game
right.
in the first place. So I don't agree with the Democrats that it was staged because of the reasons I just mentioned. But the vice president and his wife left the game.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
and he tweeted. He tweeted, he said, I left the Colts game because President of the United States and I will not dignify any event that disrespects our soldiers, our flag, or our national anthem. So that's his
tweet. Do you believe, I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, but do you believe in punishing one team because another team kneels? In other words, the Cowboys aren't kneeling. The Miami Dolphins, today, we learned that the Miami Dolphins coach told them, you're not kneeling. You can stay in the locker room if you want to, but we're not taking a knee during the national anthem. We're standing, putting our hand.
Yeah, I think this is an issue for President Trump and Vice President Pence. I think this is an issue dealing with the NFL and what the NFL mm-hmm. has not
okay.
done.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to show up at an NFL game. The reason it was this game, as you pointed out, was because of all these other ties
okay.
of Vice President Pence, Indianapolis, Peyton Manning. But this was a statement they're making to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think. I mean, I can't read yeah. their minds.
But. Yeah. Well, that was interesting. The Dolphins owner, Miami Dolphins owner, Walker, that's what you said, told them yeah. they're gonna well, the coach and the head coach. I mean, this is what it's coming to. The coaches and the owners are figuring out that this is going to cost the NFL a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, and this is really
causing division in the
the only way too. The NFL can restore its image is to fire Roger Goodell and have a new CEO of the NFL that comes in and says, look, we're standing for the national anthem. We may not can agree on many things, but we can agree that we live in a great country who provides us great liberties because of soldiers who've died for our freedoms. That's the only way. That otherwise, the NFL, it would be insincere for them to take any actions now to restore their image and make people stand for the national anthem, because it shows all they care about is money.
Mm.
All they care about is money. They don't care about our country. They don't care about our flag. They don't care about the soldiers who die for our freedoms. All they care about is money. Thus, we're going to make our players stand.
Does anybody know why these players are kneeling anymore?
Well,
and there's very few. There's fewer and fewer of them, by the way.
And some of them won't even. In fact, in some of the, I think three of the players for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, they all stood, but they raised their fists. Mm. And then when they were asked afterwards, I think it was all three of them said, "I let my actions stand for themselves. I'm not going to make any further comments." So many of the players aren't even explaining what their protest is about. So the controversy is becoming about the gesture.
Right.
It's not really becoming about what they may be or may not be protesting. It is about whether the gesture is appropriate during the national anthem, because a lot
right.
of these players aren't discussing their reasons. Now, if they were coming out and having a heartfelt discussion and saying, here are my reasons, I would at least have a little more respect for what they were doing. I would still disagree with the timing of it during the national anthem.
But now the fist raised, is that not black power?
Yes, that is black power. That goes all the way back to the Black Panthers in the 60s and the 1968 mm-hmm. Olympics when you had black
athletes. Is that what the Dallas Cowboys players were doing?
They wouldn't explain it. They were asked to explain what it was for, and they said, I just let my gesture speak to
itself. Your actions say black power.
Well, mm-hmm. maybe they don't want to elaborate. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, the controversy is about the gesture. The whole idea of this is supposedly to begin a dialogue about racial injustice, but I don't know anybody who's talking any more than usual about those issues. Everyone's talking the gesture.
That's what Colin Kaepernick started this whole thing about. America was oppressive to black people, right?
Yeah.
And then what he started the whole
yes.
thing about?
ongoing oppression.
Very open about why he was doing it.
Right. To his credit,
yeah.
I didn't agree with him at all, but I'm just saying at least he told you why he was doing it and what he was doing it about. But it was that even his protest was, to me, a little broad and ambiguous. You know, there's no way – if you're going to kneel for the reasons Colin Kaepernick started all this, kneeling, you're going to be kneeling till Jesus comes back.
Right.
Okay? Because we do hope the Lord comes back soon.
Right.
But yeah. I'm using that as an example to say from now till, to the end of the earth.
There'll always be something to complain about.
Sure.
Yeah. It's called sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, you can always find something to complain about, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're gonna be, if you're going on what Colin Kaepernick's reasons were for kneeling, you're going to be kneeling forever.
Yeah, the NFL's damaged their reputation so much that
you don't know if they can get it back.
No, and this all falls on Roger Goodell. I mean, the coaches, the owners, they all have their part in this. But at the end of the day, Roger Goodell sets the rules. He actually, they're not even enforcing the rules because the rules in the NFL are you stand for the national anthem. So he's setting aside some rules, applying some.
Right.
It all falls on him.
Yeah, well, in a recent Rasmussen telephone online survey, this was conducted October 2nd and 3rd. So today is what, the
8th?
So this was a week ago.
Ninth.
Nearly one-third of adults, 32%, say they're less likely to watch NFL game telecasts because of these player protests, according to the survey.
Yeah.
So that's a third. Mm-hmm. And it is clear that viewership is down, attendance is down in some stadiums, and people are getting angry at this. Vice President Pence has gotten a lot of support for what he did at the Colts 49ers game. So to back to Walker's point, the NFL may be damaging its brand, and I'm not sure. Sometimes people don't come back.
Some of the players are saying by kneeling, they are not showing disrespect for our military, not showing disrespect for the flag. But the problem is they're doing it during the national anthem.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they are.
So you can't extract, you know, their point, okay, if you want to come out before the game, after the game, during intermission, and you say, I'm concerned about ongoing oppression out there, that's one thing. But you're doing it during the national anthem. That is what people are upset about.
Yeah, that's nuts to say we're not disrespecting the flag while you kneel during the national anthem.
Well,
that's the whole point of your protest is to disrespect the flag and the national anthem because you're saying America's a bad country.
And that's in the context of the man who started it, Colin Kaepernick,
who
said, I'm not going to stand for the national anthem when the flag is a symbol of oppression.
Right. Yeah.
So all this is being done in the context of those statements,
right.
And the American people aren't dumb. They know what this is all about.
Otherwise, take a kneel during the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? When it's time to kick off, say, I'm taking a knee right there because protest injustice in America.
Yeah.
But when you do it during the national anthem and the unveiling of the flag, then you are showing disrespect to the flag.
Hey, you know what they
ought
to do?
And all those who serve.
To go to back again to Walker's point about the NFL rules, when it's time for the post-game press conference, you go out there and you say, I'm not answering any questions in protest of ongoing oppression in the United States.
Right.
And you have the players not do post-game interviews, and you watch how fast the NFL cracks down. Mm-hmm. Because they want the sportscasters and the sports writers doing these interviews because it drives the sport and the popularity of the sport.
Yeah.
So you'd find out how quickly the NFL would crack down on quote-unquote free speech.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show live, you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and comment there on what we're discussing as well. You can go our app, American Family Radio app. American Family Radio app, you can download it for free and listen anywhere in the world on your cell phone or your iPad or similar device. One more note on the NFL yesterday. We were talking about Vice President Pence and his wife walking out during the Indianapolis Colts, San Francisco Giants, 49ers game, because a few of the 49ers players, none of the Indianapolis Colts players that I'm aware of took a knee during the national anthem, but the 49ers players did, a few of them, and the vice president left the game because he said he was not going to be a part of that. Anyone a game that where they disrespected the flag or a national anthem. He said, one other note on that, we mentioned that the Miami Dolphins coach said you will stand mm-hmm. for the national anthem or you'll stay in the locker room. I think that's gonna be the way going forward. Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys.
Same thing. Has given the players an ultimatum. Stand for the anthem or sit out the game. There you have it.
So they all stood.
You bet they did.
They all stood. Well, I don't know that any of the Dallas Cowboys have taken a knee anyway. But they know that they know how their owner feels, and their owner writes their checks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me ask this question for the benefit of our listeners. There are fines, for instance, if you spike the ball in the end zone, correct?
No, not in the NFL. You can spike it in college.
You can spike it.
College, yeah. There are fines for –
for what?
Bad behavior. Well,
certain celebrations.
Well, the other day,
outrageous celebrations.
The other day, the Odell Beckham Jr. for a week ago Sunday, he got hurt yesterday. He's out for the year, but he's a wide receiver for the Giants. You know, he's the one that got on all fours and acted like he was urinating on the crowd like a dog. You remember that?
Yeah.
Real classy act there by Beckham, and he was fined.
Okay.
By the NFL, so you can get fined for outrageous things,
for breaking the rules.
Breaking the rules,
right?
Right.
So the problem here, going back to what Walker was talking about, is the NFL.
Yes.
It's refusing to fine these players for breaking the rules, and it's because of political correctness.
Right.
So the NFL has the power to change this.
They're to blame.
They have the power to change this.
And the problem for the NFL now is not only are they increasing fan hostility here, allowing that to spiral out of control, because they have waited so long to do something.
Yeah.
Now you may have player rebellion if you try to crack down. See, you may have. I mean, I don't think anybody for the Cowboys, but you might have some players for some teams say, "Fine, I won't play, and I'm going to take you to court because you're going to pay me if I don't play."
If the vast majority of NFL players were white, then they would crack down. The NFL would say, "You stand. It's part of our rules for the national anthem." But because the vast majority of players in the NFL are black, they don't know what to do.
The image would look bad.
But, yeah, because it's a protest by those players who are kneeling to say that, you know, black people are oppressed in America and we're taking a knee to speak out against that oppression.
It would look like the NFL was oppressing them.
Yes, like the NFL was oppressing them while the irony of getting a check with six zeros behind it while you're claiming to be oppressed. Am I the only one that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not the only one.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me go back to what I was saying. They should have done this last year with Colin Kaepernick. Roger Goodell should have just come out or should have issued a statement saying, listen, we understand where Colin's coming from. We know that there are discussions going on about racial injustice. However, the rules are very clear in the NFL. You stand for the national anthem or you'll be fined. Just like if you wear something other than Nike, you're going to be fined for that. And if you wear John 3:16 and your eye black under your eyes, you will be fined.
Or anything.
And they should just make – this is not a big deal, folks, but these are the rules. You agreed to abide by them. Yeah. So
they would have nipped it in the bud.
Right off the bat.
Well, Colin Kaepernick. And the NFL could have said, listen, if Colin Kaepernick wants to have a press conference every day on his own time,
then
we have no problem with him. It's freedom of speech. It's America. Good for him.
Yeah.
But these are the rules according to the NFL, and we have to abide by them. Otherwise, we lose control of our product.
Right.
So, anyway, what else you got there, Fred?
Well, the war of words between President Donald Trump and some Republicans is getting more intense. We've talked a little bit about what's happening with regards to Republican Senator from Tennessee, Bob Corker. Well, there was an upscale of that war of words on the weekend with President Trump saying the Tennessee Republican gutlessly dropped his reelection bid after begging for the Trump endorsement he never received. Well, Senator Corker fired back a few moments later by tweeting, quote, "It's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning," end quote.
Wow.
That was a good one. I got to give it to him. I mean, I don't agree with Corker. on that, but I think but
it's almost like
that was a good
I'm
one.
Going to use this,
right?
And now's the time I'm going to use it. But
Corker's not running any longer. He's not going to run for re-election.
But he's got 18 months
but
left.
That's why he let loose with that, because he knew if he was running for re-election and he hit the president of his own party with something like that. I mean, he wouldn't stand a chance in re-election.
We're talking about the senator from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Trump's not going to let you have the last word.
No.
President Trump came back and said he begged me for my endorsement.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes.
This is a man who begged me for my endorsement. Yeah.
Well, he also, this is President Trump. He also wanted to be referring to Senator Corker. He also wanted to be Secretary of State. I said, no thanks. He is also largely responsible for the horrendous Iran deal. I mean...
I think you're going to get the last word on President
Trump.
You
talk about locker room back and forth. Mm. Anyway, Kellyanne Conway, special advisor to the president, was on Fox and Friends this morning, and this is how she responded to when asked about this war of words.
This is what Corker says. It's a shame that the White House has become an adult daycare center. This after a Twitter exchange. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning. What a demeaning tweet at the president.
Well, it is, and world leaders see that. We've all worked with Senator Corker over the years. We thank him for his service, but I find tweets like this to be incredibly irresponsible. It adds to the insulting that the mainstream media and the president's detractors, almost a year after this election, they still can't accept the election results. It adds to their ability and their cover to speak about a president of the United States, the president of the United States, in ways that no president should be talked about. And I still come from a background where you express yourself privately. And this president has the most open door policy to our senators and our members of Congress that I think anybody's ever seen. But what this does too is look at what the mainstream media are all covering this morning. This was their top story instead of the 70-point immigration plan. Mm-hmm. What's next on tax reform?
Bob Corker needs to look at the approval rating of Congress right now.
There you go.
Well, listen, it's the Trump era. And not error, folks, this Trump era, ERA. And this is just, I'll say this about the president. He is a street fighter. He's a brawler. He's not a politician. He's not going to play by those kinds of rules of being as diplomatic as possible. And you keep your arguments within your own party in private. So he opens himself up for this kind of exchange.
With all due respect to Kellyanne Conway, she's suggesting that President Trump keeps his arguments private.
Yeah, I listen. This is
her win, huh? I mean, come on.
Well, here's the thing, Senator Bob Corker. This is who he really is. This is who he really is because he's not running again, so he's not having to politically pander. So this is what he thinks of our president,
right?
Despite he being called out. Look, these guys do beg for his endorsement. Luther Strange and Mitch McConnell begged for Trump's endorsement. Thus, he went to Alabama and campaigned against Judge Roy Moore.
And was he also, did I hear you say this? Did I hear this right? That he wanted to be Secretary of State?
That's what Trump was saying.
That's
what President Trump was saying about Corker. Well, anyway, when is it?
These are the people who are running our country.
Right.
And this is why we can't get anything done, because he's going to go work for K Street and lobbyist.
Right.
After he gets done, he's not representing the people.
Republican establishment is definitely at war with President Trump, whether it's openly sometimes or behind the scenes. They definitely are. Well, we've got. Marsha Blackburn, representative, the House of Representatives member from Tennessee, she's announced she's running for Corker's Senate seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I were in Tennessee, I'd vote for her.
She'd be awesome.
But I can't do that.
Is that your hypothetical?
I'm in Mississippi. All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
Are Christians supposed to keep the Old Testament law, the law of Moses? Are we? And how much of that should have an impact on our laws, our governmental laws, our political laws?
We'll also have Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning. All that and more on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Big Sandy is a small town in West Tennessee, population 515. But what the town lacks in people, they make up for in heart. That's where Sonny Melton grew up. His granddaddy ran the filling station on Highway 69. Sonny was in Las Vegas on that terrible night. He put himself between a bullet that was meant for his wife. They brought Sonny's body back home on Saturday. Oh, it was quite a motorcade, from the airport in Nashville to the funeral home in Paris, led by police cars in the front, the volunteer fire department in the back. And imagine their surprise when the motorcade turned onto Highway 69 in Big Sandy. And as far as the eye could see, there were townsfolk standing along the roadway, holding hands in front of that old filling station adorned with yellow ribbons, to welcome one of their own back home. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on AFR. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Walker, what have you posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I posted the article about Vice President Pence leaving the Indianapolis Colts game because players disrespected the national anthem and our flag and our country. And then I posted also Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, has said, you can stand for the anthem or you can sit for the game. Pick one. And lastly,
you said it like that?
I don't have
paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing. That's what the headline of the article says.
Okay.
I can get you a quote for that.
And the Dolphins owner and coach too, basically saying the same thing. So things are changing there in the NFL. I think that they're seeing the potential loss of a lot of money. Especially, I think this will impact the NFL next season more than it is this season, because people, season tickets, the cost of advertising will go down on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The ramifications, I think you'll see a big loss, I say big, 5-10% maybe, of their normal revenue.
Because it's a lot of money, that 5-10%.
I think that will impact them next year. All right, to Fred, what's the next item on our news agenda here?
A little bit of good news. The fact that we're not talking about Hurricane Nate is good news this morning, because there was great concern that it was going to hit the coast, the Gulf Coast, and there was damage down there, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and in through Mobile, Alabama, but it lost its energy pretty quickly. There was some flooding, but basically they're cleaning up the streets of debris this morning along the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and along Alabama.
I've never seen a hurricane move so fast. My word, that thing was in Cancun. You know, crossing Cancun, then what, 24 hours later, it's making landfall?
Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to make landfall Friday or Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Yeah, it was supposed to make landfall Saturday night. I wake up Sunday morning, and it's going over Birmingham. It's going over Tennessee
yep.
and hitting kind of the Georgia, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Alabama line there.
Yep. So some water damage down the coast. New Orleans, that had been a state of emergency in there, but it really didn't touch New Orleans at all. So a little bit of good news on the weather front, because we are weary from what those initial hurricanes did, Harvey, and then in Florida, and of course, Puerto Rico,
yeah,
too. Still lots of damage. They were talking about Puerto Rico at our church yesterday and how it's going to be a good idea if people plan some mission trips there,
yeah,
to help the dear folks out there, because that island has been just devastated by what the storm has done. If I was to tell you that senior Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein has become a Republican, that would be quite a shock, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
But I'm still shocked this morning by, in two interviews this weekend, Democrat Senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, said no gun laws could have prevented Las Vegas massacre. Now, that puts her on the outside of the circle of how most Democrats are reacting to what happened in Las Vegas just over a week ago. She says no gun laws. That would have not changed things. That's not saying she's not for modifying the gun laws, but she says no gun laws could have stopped what happened, that massacre in Las Vegas. So I thought, my goodness, and she is running again. By the way, she has announced that she is going to run again.
How old is she now? Do you know? I'm looking at an article to see if I can. I don't see an age on there.
I think she and Nancy Pelosi are running neck and neck.
Neck and neck.
Yeah, multiple laws. Well, from what I know, you're not even supposed to have firearms in that hotel. Mm-hmm. So you've got multiple laws and regulations and rules that were broken. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, we're talking about creating laws for the lawbreakers. The folks who don't even obey the laws in the first place. So, from what I can see, it wouldn't have stopped this.
Well, and I have said on this program on at least several occasions, I have praised Dianne Feinstein, because she is, on most issues that I've heard her, she's a straight shooter, especially foreign policy stuff. And she's an anti-gun person.
Yep.
And she usually
Second Amendment.
Second Amendment. So, for her to admit the truth, frankly, if there was a lot more of this in Congress, you might see a few more things done. But she's one of the few Democrats that I think she's a person of character and will speak the truth even if it goes against the narrative of the Democratic Party.
Of her own party.
Her own party.
Yeah.
So I have to hand it to her when she does that.
Absolutely. Let's go back to President Trump again. President Trump still sees military options with North Korea. That was the subject for the weekend shows. And one of the guests on the weekend shows, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, he says he wants the president to, quote, stop doing hurtful things to the country's national security, like telling the North Koreans that there is no diplomatic path for them to give up nuclear weapons. The president has not said that. The president, as late as last week, was saying, of course, there's always room for talks. But what the president has signaled out there is that he's not afraid to use military options against North Korea. And so that's just another front where the president is facing right now, even some in his own party who have expressed GOP Senator Ron Johnson, for example, says there is no viable military option. It would be horrific. End quote. Well, aren't you signaling to North Korea there, hey, don't worry?
Yeah.
If you're Senator Ron Johnson and you're listening to him, he's saying to North Korea, you don't have to worry about a military threat. We'll just continue on with the sanctions and, you know, we'll sit down and have tea together. This is the thing that, and President Trump has been saying this, how much time has been wasted with regards to doing something about North Korea, the money that has been spent on still bolstering that economy. And sometimes it just seems that President Trump is out there all by himself in all these battles.
Well, even if President Trump did say, the hypothetical that he did say, there's only one thing that'll stop North Korea, no, and it's not negotiations, so what? He's the commander-in-chief. He runs our military. If, in his view, he's being advised by some of the top military experts in the world that that these folks don't respond to anything but force, then so what? Why do we have to be so soft and we can't talk about war and we need to meet at the table? We met with Iran at the table, and look where that got us. We spent $500 billion in taxpayer dollars that we gave to Iran so they can build their nuclear arsenal. And are they following the rules of the Iran deal? I don't know.
But now, he did tweet Saturday, right? He said, sorry, but only one thing will work. He said the talk hasn't worked. He said, agreements violated before the ink was dry, making fool of U.S. negotiators. Sorry, but only one thing will work. And then he was asked about that, and he said, you'll find out.
Yeah.
So
much the same as his meeting with the military people last week, where he said, this is the calm before the storm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out.
So, like, to me, that's suggesting an imminent military attack on North Korea. Does anybody else read that differently?
Well, I mean, he won't elaborate. So I don't know what he's
I'm saying, what does that suggest?
I think his some of the analysts have suggested this is President Trump just keeping the gun pointed to the head of the North Korean leader. That's what he's doing.
That's bluffing, though.
Well, if the North Koreans continue with their missile tests, then people are going to start to question the resolve of President Donald Trump to solve this, to stop it.
What you have to avoid in these kind of situations, to me, and we're talking about something that's gravely serious that could trigger World War III.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to avoid, and President Trump's not the best at this, okay, is amping up the rhetoric to where you box yourself in to where either you have to do something like President Obama did not with the red line. Remember that? The red line, the sand in Syria? But he never should have said it.
Mm-hmm.
If President Obama had never said red line in the sand in Syria and then we do ABC, then he wouldn't have been mocked when the red line was crossed again and again and he did nothing.
Right.
All right? You're better not to say a threat than to say a threat and not follow through with it. I'm just saying to you that President Trump, and I'm not saying he's not a man of his word, I'm just saying he has challenged the leader of North Korea at every turn, saying, if you continue to do this, we're going to do something else. And what he's suggesting now is a full-scale military option. If anybody reads that anywhere different, does anybody read that different than I'm reading it?
The only way I can read it differently than that, I do read it as that partially, but they have talked, there has been talks about shooting the next missile down, that the next test missile that they shoot over Japan or over Guam, next time it goes over one of our allies, then they're going to just shoot it down and let it fall into the ocean. So that would be the only other option that I could think of as far as some kind of military action that doesn't necessarily mean attacking North Korea.
I think there are other things that are going on here in conjunction with the words. The announcement last week, and it may have got lost because of we were paying so much attention to Las Vegas. But one of the things that the administration announced, they're looking at the number of North Korean workers working in China that are producing things that Americans buy. And they're going to start looking at those products and saying, we're not going to buy those. So you've got piles of North Koreans who work in factories in China and send their money back to North Korea. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. So what we're talking about here is the threat, the latest threat, is aimed at putting pressure, I believe, on China to step in. I believe President Donald Trump would like to see China put an end to the threat from North Korea. I think that's why he is pressuring them, economic pressures on China.
China can't
do
it.
China can't do it?
No.
Can't stop the North Koreans?
Nope. That's one person's opinion. But y'all may disagree with that.
If China can't stop them, then what option is there? Japan is all for America doing something about it. South Korea would like America to do something. And if China's not going to do anything, what options are there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, the options for the West are things that China won't like. So if China, and I'll explain what some of those are. So if China can do something, I think they will. If you tell China, listen, if they continue to produce ICBM or to go after the technology to be able to reach us, then we are going to arm South Korea and Japan. Japan would have to make some changes into its constitution. And we're going to arm Taiwan, all with nuclear weapons, so they can protect themselves. Now, that is something that China absolutely, the thing with Taiwan, that could start a war. But what I'm saying is, you say, China, if you want that whole area to be nuclearized, then do nothing. So then we'll find out whether China can do something.
The reason China can't do anything is they wouldn't. If China could do something, they wouldn't have never joined the UN resolution to shut down economic ties to North Korea.
Well, they could have been wanting to send it by doing that to send a message to North Korea. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well,
you
if
know,
they
we're
send
serious
a,
about
if they
this.
Send a, but I'm saying sending a message to North Korea means you can't control them.
No, if I mean, listen, we're all just kind of spitballing here. But if what China can do is to get rid of Kim Jong-un, that's your last resort. You know, or if you invade North Korea, those kind of, that's your last resort. If you want to try to reel him back in without doing that, maybe you send a message. Maybe you've been telling him, listen, you got to stop doing this. Now you join with the sanctions. You sign on, very rarely done, where China and Russia will join the U.S. You saying, see, Kim Jong-un, we are serious. You better knock it off. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they do not want nuclear weapons in South Korea and in Japan, because China likes having the nuclear weapons,
right,
and nobody else.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll see, but the president has basically – the president – to me, the president has come. We have come to the end of our rhetorical agitations, I guess you could say. But it's more than rhetorical for the North Koreans. They're actually firing weapons out there.
Yeah.
You know, over Japan, two times, for example. Now, if by calm before the storm, quote by the president, he means shooting down their weapons. Walker suggests maybe that's what he's talking about, but to me, I read that as that we're getting ready to attack them. We're getting ready to attack.
You know,
them.
I mean that what Walker said would be possible, but here's now I'm with you, Tim. I don't think that's what the president's mm-hmm. implying. But if you're going to try to shoot one down, you better shoot one down.
Yeah.
You better not miss. You better not have that's a foul right. up, because then it's going to look like we can't stop them.
If yeah. you know what I think, not that y'all care.
We do care.
Please act like you
deeply.
Do, though.
Deeply.
We care.
I don't think we can do anything about it.
You talking about without war?
Mm. No. I think the Kim Jong-un, is that his name?
Yeah.
He's like a man who has a hostage, but with a gun to his head, daring the cops to try to pick him off.
That's what Steve Bannon said after he left the White House. He said I've always. He said, no one has been able to show me an alternative solution to North right. Korea other than millions of people in Seoul, South
yeah.
Korea.
That's what I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
And he said, until you can show me that, then
well,
there's nothing to talk about.
Well, that's why I have a hard time understanding what President Trump's doing here. I don't understand his rhetoric on this, because to me, you would be better to ignore the guy.
Or you just say, all right, listen, we can't. If China can do something, do it, or else here we're going to do this over here. But basically, this comes down to this: Kim Jong-un, if you send a nuke and it hits anybody we like, it's nuclear
yes.
war.
Now that's a reasonable thing to say, absolutely.
But until that time comes, there's nothing we can do to stop them.
We're not going to comment on it every day.
And we're not going to comment on it every day. The guys, obviously, you can draw your own conclusions about his mental stability. China, if you want nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula and in Japan,
that.
You're risking that. So if you can do something. But if not, he can go on with his test. But you hit somebody by accident,
right?
You're going to be a glowing stump.
Yeah,
we're going to turn North Korea into glass.
I guess the only other military alternative to, you know, a war would be to try to take him out. I don't know what that means. Who takes
charge? That is an act of war, though.
Yeah.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
That's true. But I'm saying that would be the preferable option rather than firing a weapon in there to kill a bunch of innocent people who in North Korea.
It'd be terrible. All those people in Pyongyang.
That's what I'm saying.
Innocent people. I mean, if he launches and starts a nuclear war, how many innocent people, how many Christians would be incinerated? I mean, it's a terrible, it's a lose-lose situation.
Also, you know, for people who don't know the geography over there, Seoul, South Korea is like Newark, New Jersey to New York City, or Dallas to Fort Worth. I mean, it's just right there.
35 miles away from the demilitarized.
The good thing, though, is that President Trump does have a very good military leadership. I mean, with General Mattis and these guys, they you know, if there's options to fix this military-wise without large number of casualties, then they've probably thought of it.
Well, you know, hopefully and prayerfully there'll be some kind of solution to this problem. I think Ed's, you know, like we've said before here, I think the president would just quit talking about it and just say, listen, we're reserving, we reserve the right to do anything to protect ourselves and our allies, and that's all we're going to say about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until such time as we deem necessary. But saying things like calm before the storm, what
tweeting,
else did he say?
Tweeting on it. He shouldn't be tweeting on
no,
this
No, absolutely
issue.
Not.
What this is not Bob Corker from Tennessee.
Right. What else did he say, President?
Well, he said, only one thing will work.
Tweeted that?
He tweeted that. He said that the discussions, he said, quote, hasn't worked. Agreements violated before the ink was dry, making fools of U.S. negotiators. Sorry, but only one thing will work.
Now, I will say
that was Saturday.
To give him a little bit of credit, I mean, that's what we're all thinking. We're all thinking the only thing that's going to work is force. We don't want that, but we've tried doing the negotiation thing for 3 decades. And look where it's gotten us.
Right, because
they're firing missiles over Japan.
Yeah, because Kim Jong-un, is that his name again?
Yeah.
He understands what we understand, that it was we can't fire on him without killing a bunch of innocent people, perhaps starting World War III. He knows that, so he just gets his jollies, as it were, by, you know, firing weapons out there across, you know, into the ocean, knowing that there's nothing anybody can do to stop him. Mm-hmm. But with, from doing that kind of thing. Anyway, that's.
Well, people need to pray. That's what you said. Yeah. People need to pray.
Absolutely.
We need to ask God for God's mercy on all those people and ours. I mean, who knows whether he can reach the United States with a nuke? You know, I mean, these are very perilous times.
Gee, I hesitate to say now for something completely different because it isn't Thursday. President Trump is going to have an announcement on the Iranian deal. And, you know, the speculation there is, again, what's he going to do? Is he going to blow that deal up, or is he going to exercise the option? Remember, President Obama basically put that deal in place all by himself.
Right. It was not approved by the Senate or anything. It's not a treaty, right?
So what the speculation is that he's going to announce on Thursday he's decertifying the Iranian deal and throwing it to Congress, which, according to the deal, 60 days, they come up with some kind of method to increase pressure. We're back to talking once again about a regime that would not hesitate for a moment to fire nuclear weapons, whether it's to the United States, but particularly Israel.
Right.
Let's be very clear about that. Even the Arab governments that surround Iran are worried about this. This is kind of an interesting scenario. You've got Israel, you've got Saudi Arabia, you've got some of these other countries that are very concerned about Iran. They don't like this deal either because they don't believe the Iranians have stopped in their development of nuclear weapons. So on Thursday, apparently, if the reports are true, he's going to throw this to Congress because he believes you have to step up the pressure on Iran.
Well, you do. This is another one of those situations. And, Tim, we talked about this a couple of years ago. Hmm. What are you going to do to stop Iran? I mean, there's unless you can put enough pressure on them to make them cry uncle. I don't know if you guys ever said that when you were growing up.
Sure.
Someone put your arm behind your back on the playground. You get if you can't do that peacefully with sanctions, Iran's going to get nuclear weapons, and because we can't go to war with them. I don't think the American people want to go to war with them. So you've got Israel with, I believe, many nukes.
Yes.
But you're going to want Saudi Arabia wanting nukes. Mm-hmm. You're going to, you know, Turkey. I don't know if Turkey is a nuclear power or not. But this is what happens when you have bad regimes who want the power to eliminate their enemies with nuclear weapons. You just increase the number of people with nukes
and
proliferation, and that makes it dangerous because that means someone might lose one and it might wind up in the wrong hands and come over to Miami in a boat.
And North Korea apparently and Iran, there are reports that they're kind of sharing resources and supplies
from Russia and China.
Right. So, but to the same point, we've seen what happens to those who don't have nuclear weapons. These regimes, they get taken out. Justifiably or not, they get taken out. So from their perspective, from Iran's perspective.
You're talking about like Libya when
Gaddafi. Yeah, and Syria.
Yeah.
And so you look at what's happened to those who don't have nuclear weapons and your Iran and North Korea. I don't blame them in a sense for wanting nuclear weapons because it'll at least protect their regime.
I don't for the life of me understand. I know this has been explained to me before, and I understand jealousy, you know, is a condition of humanity. I don't understand for the life of me Russia and China wanting to destabilize the world by protecting Iran or North Korea for that matter, just because they don't like the U.S. Well, China, let me tell you, China has to have the U.S. or they're going down economically. We're their number one trading partner. So mm-hmm. the U.S. and China joined at the hip. It's illogical for China to want to bring down the U.S. from the financial perspective. They got a lot of money invested in us, too.
I don't think they want to bring down the U.S., but they want their own. I think they want their own set of allies to counterbalance U.S. power in the Western Pacific.
What are we going to do? What's a threat to them?
Well, if let's say they wanted to take Taiwan, they've wanted Taiwan back ever since the Chinese Communist Revolution and the nationalists all wind up on Taiwan. The only reason they haven't taken Taiwan back is because the U.S. says if you do, we're going to war. I think they want the U.S. to back out of the Western Pacific so they can do what they want. They want to take the South China Sea without risking war with the U.S.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah.
I don't
Russia,
know
what about
what
Russia?
Thinking.
What's in it for Russia?
Well, Russia just...
A destabilized world. What's in it for Russia? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
why does Russia protect Iran? Iran could just as soon turn around and... threaten Russia tomorrow.
But if Russia's cozied up to Iran and China and they're all over there in their own little world, buddy-buddied, and then the U.S. is out here by itself, they're in the more favorable position.
I understand maybe militarily, but I mean, does Russia and China really think the world's better off with Iran being the leader, having more power than the U.S.?
It wouldn't be more power than the U.S. I don't think they view Iran getting nuclear weapons as destabilizing. I think they just say an enemy of the U.S. is going to be a thorn in their side, and no one can take out
all the
Iran.
While we want to trade with them, the U.S. We need their money.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they want to...
All that happened in the lead-up to World War One. You had all kinds of trading partners, all kinds of treaties, and
it's
those
highly
kind of
complex.
We need to be praying for President Trump. You know, we talked about it for the last hour around here. He faces this every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break right here. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Much more to talk about when we get back in 5 minutes. Stay with us, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.